Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello and welcome back to In Reality, the Mirror's reality TV podcast. Every week we've been talking about our favourite shows, and this week we've got Celeb Score Dating's own Nadia Essex along.
Yay!
How are you doing, Nadia?
I'm good, darling. Thank you so much for having
me. It's so exciting. Like I say, we host this every week talking about our favourite shows. I'm Vicky Newman from the Showbiz team, and obviously we're here with my colleague Kyle O'Sullivan, and we're just going to talk all about this series because, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best yet.
Agreed.
It's so much fun.
I know that I'm, you know, can be biased, but I genuinely believe this is the best series.
But I don't see it as you would be biased, though. I think you would be more critical, if anything.
Well, I think so, but people assume that I'd be biased.
Mm.
But I love this series has just got the fun factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I think after last series and, you know, the bear situation, I'm really proud that this series, we haven't got a controversial, outrageous character like Bear.
Yeah.
And we still make great telly. Like, we don't need that sort of negativity to make good TV. We've got great characters who genuinely are there for the right reasons, and I think that makes the show better.
There's been plenty going on without a bit of Bear, hasn't there?
Yeah, and I just feel like it proves that Bear was an absolute distraction. You know, he really took away so much time and effort from us, from our other clients, that, you know, realistically we probably should have sacked him a lot sooner. Because it really wasn't fair on the other clients to have a lesser, you know, agency, because all of our time and effort went on Stephen Bear, and what's he done now? Conversations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been nice that this time around everybody's come in, they're all on the same page, they're all, you know, that we hit the ground running, they were raring to go. And they all just felt relaxed. And I think that also helps with it being series 3. People know myself and Eden and Tom, and they know that we are there to help. We're not there to throw them under the bus or humiliate them.
Mm-hmm.
We really, like, this is my genuine job. I really do want people to find love. So, and I think that in the previous series is, if that's the right grammar,
I'm sure it's fine.
Series would be plural as well, yeah. I think, wouldn't it?
Series. People didn't know. No one knew. I mean, series one, we all literally just winged the whole thing.
Brand new for everyone, yeah.
I mean, I feel like for the first few episodes, Eden and I looked like we'd been, you know, hit by a bus. We didn't actually speak, I don't think. I think we probably said about 2 words because we were just so scared because we didn't know what we were doing. And Charlotte Gosby would come in and talk about Willys, and we'd be like, oh my God, are we allowed to talk about this? Like, this is so weird. I don't know what's happening. Whereas now we're more confident. We know, you know, we're the boss. We know what's going on. And we also have the confidence that we won't take any of the shenanigans from anybody from previous episodes. You know, we've had a lot. It hasn't been just been Bear. We've had a lot of naughtiness happening. And it's nice to be able to actually be, like, confident to say, you know what? No.
There has been a bit of naughtiness this series, though, hasn't there? With Charlotte and Frankie kind of
being very naughty.
Being very naughty. Not rule, just a bit. Very.
Rule number one. Celebs do not date other celebs.
Mm.
It doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Just because, you know, we don't put these celebrities together in a group if we think that they are suited to each other, because it's setting them up for a fall. So we make sure that every single person is right for that series, for the dating agency at that time, for themselves mentally ready to find love, and there's no possibility of them finding love in another celeb, because on paper and in real life they're not a good match.
She said that though, hasn't she? That he's not her type, she's not his type.
Yeah.
But something just kind of clicked. I mean, it's the Jaeger bombs, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah. The classy, quote unquote, classy shots that are Jaeger bombs.
Mm.
Don't know where she got that from. I don't know if there's such thing as a classy shot, to be honest with you. Mm.
Definitely not before dinner as well.
Oh, it's second to sit down.
I've never seen the amount of shots consumed as this series.
She can put it away.
And like, she's just, not just her, they all are big, big drinkers.
Mm.
And like, how tough, for example, she's, you know, the size of my thumb. And she can do 5 or 6 tequilas and be perfectly fine. I do one and I'd be on the floor. But then I'm old. Older, not old. So, you know. But, yeah, it's difficult. They're not... You're in this bubble. And it's a very celebs go dating bubble.
Mm.
You literally eat, sleep and breathe celebs go dating for months. And, you know, you have a car pick you up in the morning and it takes you to your date and you go on your date and then you come in and see us and we force you into situations and we push you out your comfort zone. And you are, you know, you do bond with people around you. It's like a boot camp because it takes over your life, literally. So I understand how people can start thinking that they've caught feelings. But you just have to look at Stephanie and Joey to see that the bubble, once it stops, it bursts, because when you're no longer being forced in the situations, you no longer have, you know, you're back to normal life, paying bills, you know, in celeb world, trying to find your next job or whatever you need to do. You know, you're no longer forced to spend time together for filming purposes. You're no longer paid to come up to London to spend, you know, you have to, if you want to spend time, you have to pay yourself and make the effort. And that's difficult. And, you know, Stephanie and Joey just lived in a couple of different counties. So, you know, it's very difficult to jump on a train for 2 hours to go and see somebody when, you know, really just rather sit home in your PJs.
Very true. It's a lot of effort to make for someone.
Yeah, well, especially when...
To test.
Especially when it's not quite right. And really, the only thing that bonds you is the experience. Once that experience finishes, really, what else have you got to talk about?
Yeah, very true. But I can't believe it's the last week already.
Oh, God.
I'm so devastated.
Yeah.
Because I just love the show so much, I could just watch it for the rest of my life, I reckon.
I feel like, I must admit, because people always say that they want it to run longer. And for the last 2 series, I said, absolutely not. 4 weeks is just enough.
Mm.
But this series is the first series that I've thought, you know what, actually, I could do with another week or two. I just don't think we're quite far enough in the story. There's still so much more. And the next few days are insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Leading up to our obviously fabulous finale. But for the first time ever, yeah, I really feel like I'm on the same wave as the public, where, you know what, yeah, I could, I'm still hungry for it.
Yeah. Have you got like a favourite moment so far?
Oh gosh, let me think. It's so difficult. There's been so many.
Oh, I've definitely got one.
Tell me yours.
Arge dribbling on his date.
I mean, that wasn't a favourite, darling.
It was horrific.
That was my worst.
Yeah, but favourite...
That has to be the worst.
Like, my favourite, like...
Worst moment. Yeah.
Like, that... What are you doing? What is actually happening? I couldn't believe it.
And the fact that they slow-moed it.
Oh, I know. It was so gross.
It was...
The first... Like, because I got sent the clip
to do
a story on it before it was going to be on the telly. I just... The first time I watched it, I mean, I was actually nearly sick.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
And the fact he thought that she might not have seen it.
I know!
It was like, oh, yeah. Maybe I got away with that one.
Yeah. I feel like...
there's no getting away with
that. There's no getting away, but also nobody concentrates on their food as much as Arge. So if she dribbled, he wouldn't have noticed because he's looking at his plate. But normal people don't eat like that. Normal people make eye contact, take a bite, take a sip of a drink, put their knife and fork down, take a breath, Yeah, that was the best worst moment.
That first date he went on, when they went for a curry.
Oh my god.
And he ordered basically everything. The whole menu.
And listen, he is my curry soulmate. Because I
love a curry.
You've been for a curry with him.
No, and it's on the bucket list.
Yeah, sure.
It's on, now his nose job's done, I'm all over it. I'm like, right, let's get out there and let's celebrate your nose job with a ruby. Let's just do it.
Honestly.
But so when he was ordering, every time he ordered it, I was going, ooh. And then he was like, oh, I'll have the bolt. I was like, ooh. And we'll have the pop-tops. Ooh. And I genuinely, it was like, 10:30 at night? And I was like, oh, God, I could murder a curry. It really got me in the mood. And I think actually the next night I did order a curry for dinner.
Oh, brilliant.
But that much of it, salivating just thinking about it.
Oh, when he was on the double date and he's staring at the pomelo and was like, no, we're not going to eat the pomelo until they come. And he kept bringing it up and he's like, no, we'll have one pomelo,
Torture for him. Absolute torture. Like, I reckon you could put him in the jungle, put spiders on his face, put him, you know, hands in like rats, and he'll breeze it. But sit him in front of poppadoms and tell him he can't touch is absolutely that he couldn't do it. For all the money in the world, he would not be able to sit there and not dig in.
It's definitely his first love, isn't
totally.
It?
And bless him, why not? You know, he's totally come so far. He's, you know, completely sober. So I think, you know, if you're not having a few drinks every now and then, treat yourself to some good food. You've got to have something in life that you enjoy.
Definitely.
It can't all be good. You know, it's just you don't want to be on your deathbed and be like, oh, I'm so pleased that I, you know, ate so well and didn't drink and didn't smoke and was a perfect person my whole life. No, order the bloody curry. You know, like, enjoy yourself, have a cake. Although he is actually, because he's very determined to keep the weight off, and he's very strict on his cheat days. So, you know, although on the show all you see is him eat bad food and a lot of it, he outside of that, actually in the filming process, he actually lost weight. Which proves that outside of his cheat days, he really keeps motivated and he really eats well. And there's a lot, when we're filming in the agency, there is a lot of sugary crisps and like rubbish food because you just need energy because it's such long days, and he wouldn't touch it and he'd have fruit. So.
See, how's he got willpower for that, but not for poppadoms?
It's the one vice. It's that one day that he gets a cheat day and then he's like, all bets are off. And he goes in. And I applaud him.
Dev, what do you think's like being the worst date? Like, what date have you not been able to even look?
This series?
Yeah. Or have we not seen it yet?
I'm just trying to think of all the terrible
ones. My one was when Callum was on the date and it was going so well, and then she drops the bombshell about, oh, when we were in the nightclub and you got the bouncers drag me out, and then he rushed off to the toilet. Oh, that was awkward.
That was really, really harsh, and I actually did feel sorry for Callum.
Did you?
Yeah, because I just feel like I genuinely don't think she meant it. The way it came across. It came across really confrontational and quite like rude and stuffy.
Yeah.
I genuinely think she meant it as like a bonding technique.
Yeah. Like, just, oh, isn't this funny? What
yeah,
actually
I
meant
know
before?
You. Yeah. But I think that as she was telling the story, his face was going like more and more down and down, and you could see the anger rising. So she doubted herself, and so then as she told the story, it became really awkward, and then it came across really confrontational, and then he reacted. Whereas if she was just cool, I think he would have been cool. So I think there was a massive miscommunication. I don't believe that she meant it in a nasty way. She's on a date with him, and if you mean it in a nasty way, first of all, you wouldn't turn up to the date.
Yeah,
you know, it's not as if she didn't know. We were like, you're going on a date with Callum. And second of all, you would bring it up at the very beginning and you'd say, look, I just want to clear the air because actually we had a bit of a run-in and I didn't like it. And you'd start the date that way.
Yeah.
I do think it was just, she started saying it, saw that he was getting aggy and was like, oh my God, I've started the story, now I can't stop. What do I do? Okay, I'm just going to finish the story. Blah! And then he obviously was like, bye.
Just went a bit wrong, didn't it? Yeah. That's not Callum's best date for me, though. Definitely Izzy the Cougar.
Oh, my God. Izzy
is she going to come back every series? She has to.
I literally think there would be a petition if we didn't bring her back. Like, she's just a legend. She's just amazing. Our biggest thing with Callum is, you know, be authentic. Be authentic. Because I really felt that he was being this fake gentleman.
Mm.
And that's all we used to say, you're being fake gentleman. He was just, oh, shut up Nadia, all the time. That's all he ever said to me, shut up Nadia. Actually, he said what? He said F off Nadia. I won't say that. And finally, after weeks of butting heads, and I'm relentless, like, I get my way. And I knew that if he didn't lighten up, we had no chance of finding him even the slightest hope of love. Mm. And so we had this big, long consultation after, I think it was... Was it after he stood up his date? Or was that... Was Izzy before
I think
Izzy was before.
Yeah.
And then it was the double date was after.
Mm.
But before Izzy, we had... There was something happened in his previous date. It could have been the...
It may have been that one. Or when he said he wore his own aftershave.
I mean, I love that, though. No, I love that.
Unlimited free supply, though, isn't it? You've got to.
And he does smell good, so, you know, winner, winner.
Yeah. And, I mean... You always liked when he came in those three-piece suits, didn't you?
Come on, who didn't?
I know.
Like,
the man looks good in a three-piece suit.
The grey one is ingrained in my brain forever.
He's a handsome fella.
I don't know who's more excited, you or Tom.
Oh!
Those little hugs.
Yeah, the hugs go on, don't they?
Yeah. I feel like we're both on par, actually. Like, he's just beautiful. He's just gorgeous to look at. He's just... And... I mean this with the most respect that you could possibly imagine, but I didn't fancy him when he was younger. He's a little bit more weathered. That's an appropriate word. Love you, Callum.
Yeah.
And I actually like that. I that haggard look, I fancy. I like it.
He is fit. Let's be honest. Fit.
But I think he's actually gotten better with age. I didn't like when back in the day in his bad boy days, I just thought he was too pretty and too fresh faced. Now I feel like he's grown into a really handsome young man. And, you know, he's got character. His face, he's got, you know, lines and wrinkles and like character in his face, which he never had before. And I think that, I'm interested. So I will sit there and just stare at like the things and just be like, oh, you know, it's got laughter lines. I'm like, oh, wow, I wonder where they came from. And just stare and wonder, you know, how he got his face. Yeah. He's pretty mesmerizing. He is.
We'll have to talk about Charlotte as well, because she's just been my favorite. Just unlimited entertainment with Charlotte. That's what you get. And we're just talking before, weren't we, about how she manages, she has this secret superhuman power of being able to just get lads to take the kit off.
I've never seen anything like it. Like, I also don't understand it. And I think by the end of it, we were taking bets on how many minutes before, when the guy sat down, before he would disrobe. And I think she got down to 3 minutes.
No.
Really? Yeah.
And it's we are all born with a gift. Simple as that. One thing that we're really good at. And if Charlotte can find a way to monetize that gift of hers, of getting men to disrobe within 3 minutes, she'll be a millionaire.
Absolutely.
I don't know, some sort of pimp or... I don't know. How could she do it?
She was probably getting an illegal occupation, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, I would... I mean... I don't know. We'd have to do a brainstorming session. But yeah, there's always an angle, and there's always money to be made.
There's bound to be a way around it.
We'll just have to
sit down, make a business plan.
Yeah.
We'll sort it out.
I wonder if it's something where she could be like a confidence counsellor, and just like, you know, guys come in, and then just 3 minutes in, she gives them so much confidence, they start disrobing.
Yeah.
And then they pay her for the privilege.
And they basically walk out like Channing Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
Walk in looking like the chair. Walk out like Channing.
Love it.
Happy days.
There you go, Charlotte.
Yeah.
There's a business plan for you.
But that's what I mean. There must be a way. Because it's just, I just don't understand it. And it's not as if she's on dates with like you know, weak guys. Mm. These are big, burly men who have no problem in putting people in their place. But for some reason, you know,
she's always got the upper hand, for sure.
Totally.
She should go on The Apprentice next year. Pitch that to Alan Sugar.
If she got on The Apprentice, I would die. It would be... I think they should do a Celebrity Apprentice, and I think that Charlotte Dawson should be the first person they sign up.
Without a doubt.
And I want to be on her team. 100%. We would win every single challenge.
Oh, yeah. She'd get Lord Sugar stripping off.
100%.
She probably could.
There is no way by the end of that filming that we wouldn't see Lord Sugar's bottom.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. And I bet you he's got one of those fake six packs. You know where you know, you can buy the little like cage, and if you put it around your body it leaves an indent of a six pack. 100% he's got one of those.
Good invention.
But I'll tell you once we film.
Yeah.
So Alan, call me. I can hook it up.
Is there anyone who you haven't had on the show that like you're dying to get on there?
Oh, so many.
Yeah, there must be.
So many. Do you know who I was thinking actually on the way here? Who, I don't know if she's single, but she certainly was. Jessie from Little Mix.
Well, I think she is seeing someone again now.
Do you think?
I think so.
That's disappointing.
I can't remember who it is, but I'm sure she is.
Because I feel like we would know if she was.
I don't know. It's hard to keep up sometimes, isn't it, with people?
Well, not really. Not if you've got Twitter. And they're the type that plaster things all over the place.
Mm.
But she's not really that type, is she?
No. But you'd like her on, though. I think she'd be amazing.
I loved her from, like, day one auditions. Yeah. Like, there was... You ask who... Like, what's the X Factor? Absolutely, it's her. And I love the fact that she doesn't look like a normal pop star in terms, and I hate the word normal, but in terms of like what society says is quote unquote normal. And she just kills it. And she's surrounded by, you know, what society deems as normal looking pop stars. And she steals the show. And she's amazing. And she's body confident. And she's talented. And she's beautiful. And she just seems like a really down to earth. I bet you she's hilarious.
Yeah, seems really funny.
Oh, you know, get a few drinks down her. You're having a whale of a time. And I just really think that she's a nice girl. And, you know, deserves to find someone equally lovely.
So do you have like celebs on the back burner then? Because obviously you were saying earlier like, oh, this person wouldn't work in this series. Are there a couple now you're like, oh, we're going to put them in next series?
Yeah, I mean, luckily now, because it's so popular, like the phone's off the hook.
Yeah.
And I think people genuinely love the show. And because, like I say, we're not the type of show that is there to humiliate or throw anyone under the bus.
No.
So celebs can trust that we look after them and actually have their best interests at heart. If you stand up your date, damn right we're going to show it and you're going to look like an idiot, but ultimately that's on you. We're not going to edit something to make you look, you know, terrible. Fights, gratuitous sex and all that crap, like, it's not anywhere in our remit. So I think that celebs feel safe and they like the safety of the agency. So we have, yeah, we've got loads and loads and loads. And it is, there are so many factors on, you know, picking celebs for each series, because, like I say, we have to make sure, ultimately, we don't want two celebs to hook up, because that defeats the whole purpose. And it is such a waste of time. It's a waste for the datee's time. It's a waste of our time. It's a waste of all the people behind the scenes that have to sift through all the applications, do all the Skype calls, make sure that you know, all the datees are suitable, and when we have to matchmake them, it's thousands and thousands of hours of man hours that go into that type of like process. And for them to just to hook up just is sort of a slap in the face for everybody that has worked so hard, because they just go on the dates and they're not as invested. You know, they think, oh, it's okay because I fancy Frankie. So, you know, yeah, I'm going to give this date a go. But if it doesn't work out, it's fine because I fancy Frankie. And it's not fine because you shouldn't have a plan B. you should be going into every day with a completely clean slate and open mind.
Yeah.
So it's tough. But we, now we're at the stage, like I say, where, you know, the phone, before we were bashing people's door down, and now
the common ear.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just the best place to be.
Exactly. But it's not even celebs now, though, just celebs, is it, who can get your help? Mm-hmm. You've got your own dating agency now as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it's like a, like, dating coaching, I would say.
Okay.
It's like love coaching.
Yeah.
And it's open to everybody over the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for, like, private coaching away from the telly. So, like, what I genuinely do on a daily basis, you know, this is, like, my career.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like me in the agency, you know, but in front of you for an hour. So, yeah, it's a lot of advice.
A lot of take in.
Yeah, just, you know, a lot of people want help. Dating is so difficult, and I don't think it's ever been as difficult, because there are so many conflicting views. Do you date online? Do you go offline? Do you, what do you wear on a first date? Where do you go on a first date? Is coffee acceptable? Can you sleep with them on the first date? Who pays the bill? You know, it's just carnage.
Mm.
And, you know, back in the day, ye oldie times, it just wasn't like this. It was, you see somebody across the bar, the man goes over, starts a conversation, asks them out on a date, they go on a date, they go home, they decide if they like each other, and then they either continue dating. You know, they get courted, they get wooed. Women or men, it depends who, you know, which way you're inclined. And there was no grey areas. It's become so grey. You know, people ask me at the moment, you know, do you think ghosting is acceptable? And I'm like, are you actually asking me if I think that not replying to somebody ever again that you've actually been on a date with or started seeing or been talking, you're asking me if it's acceptable to just cut them off clean with no absolute closure or reply?
Yeah.
Where have we got to the point where you're asking if that's acceptable?
See, that's the great thing about the show as well, and it makes for some really amazingly awkward moments, because every TV viewer loves an awkward moment.
Myself when, included.
When you make them ring and tell them that they don't want to see them again.
Absolutely. It's honesty always, is so important.
Best policy. That's
what
they say.
It totally is. And I do believe genuinely that, like, if you don't like somebody, and I'm a fan, I don't mind a text dumping. I'm perfectly acceptable with a text dumping. You do not have to meet up.
It depends.
You don't have to waste your time.
On how long the relationship's been, though, surely.
Well, yeah.
If you've been on a couple of dates and you can, fair enough, do a little text.
Yes.
But I wouldn't like to think someone would dump us by text after we'd been, you know, going out for 3 years.
But if you're in a relationship, then absolutely not.
No.
But if you're just dating.
Yeah.
And I believe in traditional dating, as in you go on dates for a period of time before you make things like exclusive and get to that stage. But if you've been on a few dates and actually it's not working, then a good old text to be like, you know what, I think we should just be friends.
Thanks,
it's perfectly
no
acceptable. But like I say, like, ghosting is not acceptable. You know, Netflix and chill as a date option. It's just, I've never heard anything as outrageous. Like, it's just, it just, it actually, like, makes me a little bit depressed. And just to think that people actually think that that's acceptable, it's like, what is the world coming to? But I'm just old-fashioned, and I think that there's plenty of people that agree. Because, you know, my website, our show, I'm really proud of our show, because we are absolutely traditional in the way that we date. As in, they go on the date, they go home, and really they're not allowed any contact with each other. We don't want them to speak to each other. We don't want anything to happen outside of the date. And it's very traditional. And then you go on a second date or a third date or a fourth date, or you speak to them on the phone and say you're going to see other people. That, I think, is how dating should be. And I'm really proud that there's actually a TV show that is finally on telly that isn't about, you know, just set up relationships, absolute sex, fights and drama. Like, I feel like, thanks to Love Island and Celebs Get Dating, television has raised the bar in terms of its classiness of what we're watching. And shows like X on the Beach and Big Brother even, you know, the last civilian Big Brother was very dark to the point I couldn't watch it. It was really dark. It was not entertaining for me in any way, shape or form. It was very aggressive and I didn't like it. And the only thing that happened that was worth watching is the kickoffs, and I don't like watching that. It turned into Jeremy Kyle to the point where the last time I watched it, it was just noise in my ear and I had to turn it off. I don't want to watch things like that anymore. And the same with X on the Beach. Like, it just, this series just wasn't, I watched a couple of episodes and I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
I mean, it's definitely not about finding love, though.
No, well, I mean, you know, people do... You know, come out of it, and they do last a while outside of the bubble, but it's just, it's not something that I want to watch anymore.
No.
Like, I feel like we've been there and done it. And for years, telly was dark. For years, telly, like, Stephen Bell was, you know, God in terms of, like, people like to see. He won Big Brother, for goodness sake. That showed you where people were at. And I think thanks to Love Island and thanks to our show, we're bringing the classy back, and I hope that other new TV shows that come out are following suit, because I really think the public have just had enough of, like, it's tough out there in life. I want to come home and watch something that makes me cry with laughter, with, like, Rob Beckett's voiceover and Ian Hoop from the Love Island. Like, I want to come home and be entertained. And for me, that negativity, fighting, and, like, really gratuitous sex scenes, that's not cool for me. Like, Love Island, they were brilliant. How that, you didn't really see anything. It was all implied.
Feet at the end.
I remember the hot water bottle was, like, vibrating, and I was like, oh, they're doing it. Oh, it's amazing. And actually, that was more entertaining.
Like the other night when it's like the mystery of, oh, what happened with Frankie and Charlotte? Like, yeah, did it happen? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, that you think about it, it's more exciting than, like, if you just outright gone, oh, they had sex and they did this and that. Yeah, just, oh, a little peck on the cheek, or like a little kiss, and you're like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
I think that's more entertaining. For me, that's more entertaining. So I hope that, you know, TV continues on this vein, because I love telly.
Us too. Yeah. It's all bloody talk about.
Literally.
But speaking of going on dates, I know Kyle had a question for you, didn't you, Kyle?
Who would you set me and Vicky up with?
Kyle's open for Toff.
I mean, I feel like Toff, I'm 22, so I feel like Toff is probably the only age applicable one, and I think Charlotte probably eat me alive.
Charlotte would eat you alive, darling.
So yeah,
she definitely would.
So I think that's probably the only option. I don't know. What about you and Callum?
I don't know. I think I'd rather go for a curry with Arch.
Yeah.
I reckon I could
give him a good competition in the eating steaks.
Yeah.
I reckon I can put it away just as much.
Yeah. And actually, do you know what? I think you'd get on really well with Frankie.
He said Frankie, you know, and I said, oh, I don't know.
I think you'd get on really, really well with Frankie.
He likes gingers.
He does. and he loves, like, outgoing nice people, and you're an outgoing nice person. Oh, so thanks. I really think you'd get on well. But can we just talk about, like, I don't know if you've noticed, the next time you see a picture of Frankie Kokoza, take away that mop, get a picture of Orlando Bloom in Pirates of the Caribbean number one.
Right.
They are twins.
Really? Oh, I'm gonna check that out.
Check it out. It is insane. Like, I can't get over how much that,
like, they've got the same face.
I can't get over how much they look like Orlando Bloom. And the only reason why he's not Orlando Bloom is because it's bloody mob.
Yeah, that's. I would never have thought. How did you think of that?
Because I was, straight, you know, when he comes in and I'm like, God, you remind me of somebody. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I cannot remember anyone's name. I am useless with names. Absolutely. It's my New Year's resolution. I'm working on it, people. You know, I'm really trying. But I never forget a face, ever. And he came in and I just, like, in more time I spent, I was like, you remind me of someone. And it was one of those moments where I was in bed and I went home and something popped up, and, you know, you just had that light bulb, ding, Orlando Bloom. And then I got a picture up and I was like, yeah.
I'm going to do that. I'm
this series, look. Though, don't look at, like, post pictures of him.
No.
But, like, look at him in, you know, when we do that, just the him to camera bit. Look at his face, look at Orlando Bloom.
I will. Homework, there we go.
Photoshop the hair out.
Yeah, or just like put your hands there or something. Yeah. Just get rid of these side bits.
Just briefly before we wrap up then, we'll have to talk about Bobby. Because he's been so great this series. And obviously, first ever gay client. So was that quite nerve-wracking for you, do you think? Is that a totally different ball game altogether? Or
I wasn't nervous. I was excited. Yeah. I've been fighting for Bobby from realistically series 2. I adore the LGBTQ community, and I felt really strongly that they needed to be represented in one way, shape or form. And I just knew that, like, Bobby is the gay Bridget Jones, and for our very first gay client, he just ticked every box.
He's just so lush. I love him.
And he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I really like the fact that people have, I think, seen a different side. Definitely. He's not Towie Bobby with us. And there is two different people. Like, he definitely plays up in Towie, you know, whereas with us, he's vulnerable and mm-hmm. he's calm and he's, you know, I will say intellectual, but, you know, he is sort of...
You can't play his accents, though.
No.
That was hilarious.
He's not academic, bless him. He's not, you know, he doesn't know his geography. What did he say? He's not very good at geography. He was good at history, but yeah. I can't imagine he's good at history either.
Said he fancied his history teacher, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just preferred those lessons.
Yeah, I don't know if it actually still went in, though. Who knows? It's like, I'm sure he preferred going. But did any of the information stick?
No.
So, but I just feel he deserves this type of spotlight because he's a lovely guy, and I think people always see him as that guy with the swimsuit.
Yeah.
Because that made global news. That was actually on E! News in America.
I mean, it was interesting.
I've never seen anything like it.
But no, I've really loved seeing, like, his transformation, if you will. Obviously, last series, it was all about little Perry, wasn't it? And the big change he made. But with Bobby, I think everyone can really sort of sympathise with him, and kind of everyone knows where he's coming from because of his confidence issues. And we've all been there, and we've all felt unattractive and like, you don't deserve...
Love.
Yeah.
And fall in love with the first person that gives you any attention.
Totally. Yeah, definitely. Because we've all been there, you feel a bit down, someone gives you a bit of attention, you think, oh, right, yeah, mm-hmm. I love you.
Totally.
That's it. And then it's not right. Mm-hmm. We can all sympathise with that, can't we? And I think it's been amazing seeing how Bobby's grown into himself and he's become more confident, and he's just sort of realising how great he is, and that's lovely.
And I feel like... With Perry, we always talk about sort of he came in as a boy and he left a man.
Mm.
And I feel with Bobby, he didn't come in as a boy necessarily, but he sort of came in as an adolescent and he's leaving as a man. Like, he has just... On day one, he was petrified of dating. His hands were shaking at the thought of speed dating, at the thought of the mixers, at the thought of going on a date and there being an awkward silence. It was actual like a phobia. And it's like, chill. He'd worked himself up so much. The thought of him asking someone out and them saying no gave him cold sweats. He was petrified. And now he walks into a room and he's like, I'm going to go and speak to you. And he just owns it. And he'll never, ever forget and lose this confidence. And I'm really happy that we were lucky enough to sort of be a part of that and watch his growth. Because he's grown into a wonderful human being. And I'm excited to see, you know, he also now has a new nose. Don't know what's happened. I think we've led them all to get, like, nose jobs. I promise you, I have not had any part in making them feel self-conscious about their noses. But yeah, I think, you know, he's on a real, you know, new nose, new him, new confidence, new man, maybe.
And we'll have to check as well, because I'm a bit worried that we've missed something because of this missing episode that just sort of randomly didn't get shown one night.
Yeah.
Like, have we missed anything?
No, of course not. Why, what do you think you could have missed?
Well, I don't know. I'm just worried that something's happened. and I don't know about it.
And you got the FOMO.
I've got FOMO. Major FOMO.
Celebs go dating FOMO. Do you know the funniest thing about that whole thing is, well, first of all, that I died. I thought that was just like...
Allegedly,
thank God. That wasn't true.
That was awful, though. I mean...
It was awful. It was like the most surreal 24 hours of my life.
Why would someone say that?
I don't know. And it was one of those sort of serendipitous things where I was at dinner and we were in sort of like a basement restaurant with no service and their Wi-Fi was down. Oh. And I had no clue that the episode wasn't going to air. So I was literally drinking four-star martinis with my friends, having a whale of a time at dinner, and sort of midnight I come out of dinner like, woohoo, yay, cab home. Go on Twitter and it's like, you know, half looking like, what on earth is all this? And I remember just being like, got safe and sound, guys, safe and sound. Went to bed. Woke up in the morning. I had something like, thousands of tweets. Like, that I couldn't keep up. Like, crashed. And, like, 50 WhatsApps from my family. And, like, 25 missed calls from, like, my brother. Just being like, where the bloody hell are you? Because, obviously, my phone was going straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
So, it just spread like wildfire. And it was really weird waking up in the morning, slightly hungover, reading tweets that genuinely like hashtag she's died and pray for Nadia and RIP. Oh. And it was so weird. It was that weird feeling of like, oh my God, like this just like cringe. It was just, it really freaked me out. It was so weird. But thankfully it wasn't true. And then I spoke to all my friends and family and that they have forgiven me, thank goodness, and I promised them that.
Was that your fault?
No, I know, they couldn't get hold of me. So it was like, I felt terribly guilty because they couldn't get hold of me. So I did feel, I felt really upset that day after. I felt terrible because I really had put them through hell. But luckily it wasn't true, and now they've forgiven me, and now we can just have a laugh that, you know, I'm sitting there drinking porn star martinis and Twitter thinks I've died.
You've always got a laugh after.
Yeah. It's a good story.
Yeah.
It's a great story. And the fact that people actually cared.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. That's thanks, guys!
Quite a unique thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you know how much everyone would be bothered.
Right? Literally like, oh, when you think about it, I was like, okay. You know, this is a taste of things to come.
Yeah. You know, like,
because I want a full-blown, like, Princess Diana funeral.
Well, why shouldn't you? Yeah, I mean,
clear
the streets of London, parade for sure, horse-drawn carriages.
Totally.
Let's just hope you've got a bit of female series in you before that time comes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like to get to Princess Diana level, I'm going to need a million more series probably. But I feel like I'm on track. So.
Yeah, we'd definitely watch a million more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just imagine Tom giving my eulogy.
Oh.
You know?
It would be the most well-spoken...
It'll be, remember
enunciated
when...
Enunciated eulogy.
It would be the moment when Elton John sang Candle in the Wind. It will be Tom singing Candle in the Wind.
Blow that out the water.
Right.
Elton who?
Literally. Tom Reed Wilson... Nailed it.
So obviously it is the final dinner on Friday, isn't it?
It's not a dinner.
No.
It's a party.
Oh, it's a party.
We're mixing it up.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us if anybody is going to get a nice happy ending?
Obviously not. I can't give any spoilers. Like, what did we just say about not giving it all away and like the thought of what's going to happen is the fun part? But I can tell you that, like, say we, for the first time ever, we are not doing a sit-down dinner. We're doing a cocktail party, and the celebs' friends and family have been invited. So the pressure of their plus one to meet their friends and family, we've never had anything like that. And the freakouts that we have over the next few days, who shall I take? Shall I? Shan't I? What should I do? Because, you know, in previous series, it's like, oh, it's only a dinner. We'll get through it. And I don't really like them, so yeah, they'll do. Whereas this time round, your friends and family are there to see your chosen one.
Mm.
And you can't just turn up and be like, oh yeah, I just chose him because he was handy. You know, like, they're invested in the process.
It's a commitment.
It's a huge commitment. It's a massive statement. And it's just, it was by far the best finale I've ever, ever done. I thought the celebs were great. Their dates are fabulous. The family was a great sort of extra. It's much more fun. I thought the dinner party last series was just a little bit did not really much happen, I don't think. It was a little bit yawn.
What, the dinner party last time?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bear's lovely poem from sat in the Wetherspoons or wherever he was on his own.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I feel like that actually was probably the highlight, him sitting on his own doing a poem about us at dinner. But this time round, it's, you know, it was, it's just, you've got about 100 people in a room and it's carnage.
And all out knees off.
You've got Charlotte Dawson's friends and family people. Charlotte Dawson's friends and family.
I mean, they all have to be as nuts as her, surely.
You literally are who you hang with. And I don't know if they're in the clip of who it is, but you'll know who she brings because they're celebs.
Yeah.
And they are outrageous.
Oh, well, I'm gutted that it's nearly over, but I can't wait to see the rest. And hopefully it's not long before series 4, maybe. Fingers crossed. But that is about all we've got time for. But thank you so much for coming in. It's been brilliant chatting with you. And don't forget that In Reality is available to download on iTunes and Audioboom. If you want to just get yourself on there later and have a little subscribe, Nadia.
I will. I think I already am, actually. But what I will do is copy the link and post it because people need to hear.
Share it out.
Sharing is caring.
Share the
darling.
Love. But yes, thank you very much, and can't wait for the rest of the series.
Thanks.